June 17th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 40. I can dig it. Hey, everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here in the pop culture district of Mulberry. Guys, it is episode 40 of Nowhere in Mulberry. That's right. We made it to 40 episodes. Now we can quit and never do this again, Steven.
Sweet.
No, we would never do that to everyone because you've grown to love us over time. To my left, I have the pop culture zealot, Steven. How's it going, PCZ Steven?
It's going great.
That's good to hear. We also have with us Mulberry Bill from his underground bunker deep in the bowels of the pop culture district, I guess.
Yes, I've taken to calling it the Shadow Gallery now.
Right. Bill, he has all sorts of gadgets and stuff. Where do you get those wonderful toys, Bill?
Adult bookstores.
Oh, I didn't really mean that, but okay. Now, also, we have Vanessa back. How's it going, Vanessa?
Oh, it's great.
Our Mulberry newswoman, who we didn't have you last week. Sorry, we had to go ahead without you. You were missing in action, as they say. Where were you?
Oh, you know how it is when you have all the fans. Yeah, right. No, I just had technical difficulties as usual.
So you were...
Yeah, pretty much, after a big binge, yeah.
I want to just tell our listeners, you know how hard it is to do a show with people who take naps? I just want to say that right now. Bill, you're a napper, right?
Especially on the show.
Yes, I am fully guilty of the nap time.
Steven, you take a siesta from
time to time,
right? Yeah. And Vanessa, you will sleep for 16 hours or so.
I'm good to go by 4 o'clock.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's right. So we're all ready to go, and that's all that matters. Now, I want to start the show off, episode 40. We've been doing the show for 40 years now, and it's crazy. We've been through a lot together.
40 long years.
Steven, how was your week this week? Where were you this week?
So full. Such a full week.
Ah, okay.
Was in Vegas again.
Ooh.
Traveled down to the old Hoover Dam there.
Nice. That damn Hoover Dam.
And they were filming a little movie called Transformers.
Ooh, the Michael Bay Transformers?
That's correct.
Oh, God. Why did he touch it?
Damn it!
And they got Angelina Jolie's father in it.
Oh, John Voight. Was he on set? They go, hey,
he
PCZ Steven.
He did.
Nice
he
to see you.
He acknowledged me.
Love what you said about my work in Anaconda, Steven.
Loved him in Anaconda. And I did a little gambling there in Vegas and won for a little over $200.
Now, Steven, when you're walking around, do people always go, hey, Steven, that's a great thing. Not being used to my ability. Do they say stuff like that to
they
you?
They do predator snort
that's
at me.
That's a great
thing. Yeah. Now, that's bound to happen,
I was walking down the street and saw the predator, and he actually gave me a wink.
Nice. So, did you see any of the fancy cars on the set of Transformers?
No, I did not. Unfortunately, they said there was a big yellow robot there, but... Did not see the robot.
You know, the thing that I guess I should say...
It does not compute.
Yeah, it doesn't compute is that Bumblebee the Volkswagen, we mentioned this before, is a Camaro. I haven't moved past that. Because everyone who watched Transformers, the cartoon, Bill, are you with me? You watched it, right?
Yeah, I actually own the, what seasons have been released on DVD.
And Bumblebee is a freaking Volkswagen, right?
That he is.
He's a bug.
He's not a Camaro, and I'm sorry, I'm not buying a ticket to see this movie because of that.
Damn, yeah, Bumblebee is a...
How dare they?
Damn you, Michael Bay!
I'm just angry that they haven't approached Stan Bush for music in the movie yet.
Yeah, I was really upset they did not cast Scatman Crothers to do the voice of Jazz. Now, this, why wouldn't they get him to do the voice? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
I gotta get to the bottom of this. I'm gonna look on IMDb and see what Scatman's been up to lately. Because, oh my god.
Pushing up Daisy.
Never mind.
Daisy.
I just want to take a moment for Scatman. Now, Bill, how you been doing this week?
Me? You talking to me?
Yeah.
Have
you been to a library this week, Bill?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have. Okay. And what kind of stuff did you... look up
sports.
What kind of stuff do you look up on the computer there?
Sports, pornography, stuff like that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure.
We've gotten good feedback from our news break last week, and we'll continue on with that this week. We couldn't move on to a different story this week, so we'll get to that later. But Vanessa, did you get to see that Britney Spears has been all over NBC? They even reran it two nights in a row. It's been on Today Show, teased all week that Matt Lauer, the hunky Matt Lauer, was going to interview Britney Spears. Britney, who is with child, you know, is she with Kevin still? Is she not? Is her kid alive still? Did she drop him on his head? You know, they got to the bottom of important things like that. Did everyone get to see that?
No.
Well, I saw parts of it.
Well, I can't believe they replayed it two times in a row, and I completely missed it.
I know. It was on Friday, too, and I was like, hell, I'm going to watch this again, man. This is it's genius. But anyway, Foggy's pulled a little clip for us of what he thought was the best part. In fact, he said that he's grown a newfound respect for Britney. Let's check it out.
Let me show you some magazines, okay? These are all current, all right? I don't have to show
sports,
you them all.
Pornography.
But we got one here. Britney moves on without Kevin. Brit's new man.
Oh, no. That's my security guard.
The final days, fed up with Kevin's lies, he's sleeping in the basement. We'll get to these individually.
That's
but
be
basically,
true. That
this
one
is the
true.
Tone. That this marriage is over, there are problems in paradise, and it's not going to last.
You know what? I need to create my own magazine. these people, like they want stories to sell, and they're very good, you know. I need to come up with my own magazine. And
so he's living here.
Oh, definitely. He's working very hard.
Are they
hard.
Sitting next to an aquarium
on the main floor?
Yes.
There's not a basement somewhere.
He helps me.
It's a giant electric
generator.
I'm an
emotional wreck right now.
Are you really?
Not in a bad way. Just, you know, I'll start laughing hysterically, and then I'll just start crying. Like, this
so it's the hormones of the pregnancy racing through your body.
Yeah, so it's nice to have my husband
it's
there.
It's Kevin! I'm stuck in the basement!
Help him! He's trapped down there.
And in particular, your skills as a mom. You know, there was the incident on Pacific Coast Highway where you were photographed, I guess, by the paparazzi again, pursuing you. Mm-hmm. And there was Sean on your lap in the car.
Yeah.
Take me through what happened there.
I went to Starbucks and I see a bunch of photographers and I'm scared and I want to get out of the situation and my baby's crying. They're coming up on the, you know, the sides of the car, which is
right,
a scary
right.
situation
I'll follow
for
you so
me.
Far.
You know, when they're banging on the windows. I mean, that's
what?
Not...
They were like zombies.
Something I want my baby to, you know. So I get my baby out of the car and I go home.
It's like she knows they're not going to do anything to her baby. She's
got
to know that by now.
Shots.
But yeah. The fact of the matter is, while they pursue you, and we can argue for a long time, they shouldn't be doing it. And I would agree with you on that completely.
Let's talk about me for a second,
they
Brittany.
They managed to snap a picture that didn't cast you in the best light.
Oh, of course. That is their job. Mm. And they do a very good job at it.
When you were driving with Sean on your lap...
Is this a pufferfish here in your aquarium?
And it seems that, that driving incident was from, like, here. It was, like, 5 minutes away. Starbucks is, like right there. I can't go anywhere without someone judging me. You know, I did it with my dad. I'd sit in his lap and I'd drive. We're country.
It was my bad.
You know what I mean?
It's but what happened, though,
she said we're country.
Paparazzi incident
we break the law in the country.
Day, it's in the newspapers.
We endanger babies every day in the country.
Weighing in, saying, you know what? That's dangerous.
You know, they're actually doing this interview at a Red Lobster.
Yeah, they're right, Nick. They haven't been seated yet. Yeah.
It's not like
they're in the,
did Britney record a
the
bad
lounge
song?
Right now.
Mm-hmm. Is Britney wearing a bad outfit? Is Britney in a bad marriage?
Yeah.
Is Britney a bad mom?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's America for you.
She's toxic.
Yeah, but yeah. As a mother, that has to hit pretty close to home.
Yeah, makes you really strong.
It empowers kiss her ass anymore,
oh,
Matt.
I've wept. Yeah. I've definitely wept. Just
Matt, come on, make her cry.
The world, you know.
You gotta make her
how
cry.
How judgmental they are. But I know what kind of mom I am.
What do you think it'll take to get the paparazzi to leave you alone?
You know, Matt's like, I'm gonna get her to cry in this interview. I'm gonna do it.
I don't know. I don't
He's
know.
No Barbara Wawa.
Is that one of your biggest wishes?
Oh, here we go. Oh,
she's... yeah.
No, you know, Matt in his head, he's like, I got the like waterworks.
If you could talk to them as individuals, not as a group, what would you say to them?
I would just say that...
She's like chewing a mouthful of gum, too, during the interview.
You have babies at home, and you have... You have a wife, and if you don't...
Britt, that's your mic. Could you please stop touching it?
And that we need to, we just need privacy. And we need our respect. And those are things that you have to have as a human being.
You're a slut?
Whoa.
You dress like a slut. You look like a slut.
You know, I agree with Brittany. Just leave her the hell alone. What did you guys get from that interview?
She'll go away eventually.
I got from the interview that Matt Lauer needs to go back to doing the HBO 5-minute updates that he did about 10 years ago.
You know, I'm gonna,
not an interviewer.
I want Carl Monday to interview Brittany. He's like, has Kevin ever masturbated in live? What's that have to do with anything?
The paparazzi. Do you like when they masturbate?
Yeah. Do the paparazzi ever stick their genitals to your window? What? God. It's like, what? This guy's got a one-track mind. Will you take Sean Preston into a library anytime soon?
You ever perform a sexual act at the library?
All right, moving on. That was the Britney interview. I'm sure NBC will air it at least 2 more times this week, so catch it. Be there!
That was the worst thing for her to do because she just comes off so clueless.
All right, guys, we got some voicemail. Let's check it out. You guys all remember Credo, right? He's done our great Eugene mixes of songs, and... he sent us a nice little shout-out.
Hey there, Mulberry guys. Hey, I just got back from the hospital today. I had my operation Wednesday on my eyeball.
Yikes.
Like remember I mentioned it a few weeks ago on the, on the chat. Yeah, like from Friday. You know, a few weeks ago, I got a membrane peel on the right retina.
Yeah.
Hopefully the swelling will go down. I'll get some more vision out of there.
A membrane peel.
They didn't put me under all the way for this. You know, it was they kept me awake during the whole thing.
Ew.
It was kind of weird to have a needle poke in your eye while you're still awake.
Oh, lordy.
And, you know, fortunately, I didn't feel anything.
Well, that's good.
And, the operation was, went pretty good. And you should see it now. It's I have no whites of the eye right now.
It's all bloody.
It's just the blue part, the black part in the middle, and it's all red.
Yikes.
Maybe I should take some pictures, post it up on the forum or something. For you guys to
I don't want to see stuff like that. I got a weak constitution.
And since that was my bad eye, I can still use the good eye to go online, download the web, the podcast.
Go to the library.
So I'll talk to you guys later. Good night.
Well, thanks a lot, Credo.
Hope your eye gets better.
Yeah,
me too. Good recovery.
Our best wishes to you, my friend, so you can go on and do another great Eugene music.
Where's the bingo song?
You got to release, no bingo song. Well, let's face it.
He was busy at that hot, you know, getting the surgery thing. So.
We can't have Eugene every week, can we?
Damn it!
No, I'm sorry, Eugene. We're not going to have you every week.
Constant rubbing against my manhood.
Yeah. Now, we also have another voicemail from the Ron. No.
The Ron Do.
Hey, citizens of Mulberry. I have a local news story that, well, I think it's leak gone, grown leaps and bounds from beyond local. Basically, well, hell, let's just start by reading this.
Ron is never
Henry
happy
Moore
with the news we do on the show.
Henry Moore began to realize the search for buried treasure was getting totally out of hand. That's right. See, this jackass goes on eBay, buys one of those metal detectors, I guess an extra-powered one that can actually find gold or something in the ground. So he goes out, tests it in his front yard, and lo and behold, the son of a bitch starts beeping, of course. So the guy goes in, runs in, goes gets a shovel, digs about 3 or 4 feet, hasn't found anything. Now, you figure the normal person, like maybe you guys and us, I don't know about Eugene, but, you know, some of us after 3 or 4 feet would figure, hey, maybe this machine's screwed up because I can't find anything. Not Henry Mora. What does he do? Before you know it, we're down there digging for 14 days, and we're at 60 feet. That's right.
Holy crap, good lord.
This freaking brain, this moron dug 60 feet. That's 6-0 deep. And this is like less than a mile from my house, so, you know, my happy ass had to go check this out. So I go over there, and you get as close as you can to this hole, you can't see the bottom. That's right. This guy paid $600 for this freaking gold thing to look for it. He gets 2 day laborers over from Home Depot. Where the hell you get the guy's 60 years old. He hires 2 day laborers, dig 60 feet for gold that's not there. Of course, his neighbors, you know, after 14 days of digging, the neighbors think, hey, I think something's wrong. We should call the city. Fire department comes out, shuts the whole thing down. And now the guy has to pay to have an engineer come fill the dirt back in. Like I said, I went over to the house to go check this out for myself, and mountains of dirt, he piled the dirt up as he dug it out. I swear to God, the thing was higher than his house. So, yeah, this guy
back
gets my moron award
Ron.
Of the week. All right, thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Ron? So what was the guy looking for again?
Gold.
He was digging for gold. All right, thanks for that, Ron.
He was detecting gold on the other side of the earth.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's check out entertainment. All right, guys, this week in entertainment, we got a movie to talk about. July is upon us very soon, and that is Pirates of the Caribbean, or as Steven says, the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pirates of the Caribbean 2, Dead Man's Chest is the
title. Isn't that clever?
Yes. And it looks like it's CGI heavy, right? Steven, Yanni,
like
all right, good to know.
Yes.
I've never seen a more action-packed and boring trailer in my life.
No, I enjoyed the first movie. I enjoyed it, but there was a little bit of too much happening. Like, it's like, just throw in the kitchen sink. They'll love it. Sometimes you need to slow down a little, I think. But let's go ahead and check out the trailer to Pirates of the Caribbean 2, Dead Man's Chest. Ah, the Bruckheimer sound. Love it.
We've got to blow up this asteroid.
How much do you know about Davy Jones?
Davy Jones? He's a daydream believer.
And it's time to pay off.
Oh, that would have been genius casting.
Peter Tork.
Well, Peter Tork is his first mate.
To find it. You must sail to the end of the earth and beyond.
We have our heading.
Someone just vomited?
Yeah.
Captain Sparrow!
Elizabeth, you know these clothes are not flattering.
It's got Keira Knightley in it?
I happen to have no dress in my cabin.
Nice.
You got the choir. You gotta have the choir in the trailer. Davy Jones.
What is this? Kind of like Omen scary music.
You know, Steven, there's a land squid in the trailer.
Oh, bugger.
Damn them, they're stealing my land squid.
But it's in the water, so...
Oh, it's a water squid. That's totally different.
A moment when you have the chance to do the right thing.
I love those moments. I like to wave at them as they pass by.
Now, Bill, I want to thank you for conducting the choir there. I appreciate that.
No problem. I like to consider myself a, a patron of the arts, and sometimes I do like to conduct choirs.
Right. You know, you
great hobby.
You can make a lot of good money conducting trailer choirs, you know, like, mm-hmm. You know, we're going to do a good little thing, and we're going to rise up, then we're going to say the title of the movie, and then boom. So, what the hell am I doing?
Insert witty dialogue here.
Yeah.
Explosion here.
Yeah. Where is Chris Tucker when you need him? That's all I have to say. Now, is everybody...
Tucker should be in every movie.
I think so, too. I mean, you know, The Fifth Element, hated it until Chris Tucker shows up. And I was like, sold! Love it! This he movie rocks!
Every movie, he should just, like, pop up once every 30 minutes and go,
do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
We're all going to go see Pirates of the Caribbean together, and we'll have a good time. Then we'll go eat at Chili's afterwards.
Sure,
my treat, guys.
Bucket of popcorn.
What do you think, then, guys? All right. Well, Johnny Depp was great in the first one. You have to admit that, right?
Sure.
I'm not admitting anything.
Almost 21 Jump Street good.
The Almost. Only thing I'll admit is from library masturbation.
Good to know. All right, on that note, let's see what's on our TiVos.
Sissy. And now for a Mulberry News Break.
Hardcore pornography. Patrons performing sexual acts. Let's pay a visit to your local library.
Excuse me, sir. Hey, what you looking at?
It may seem like your neighborhood smut shop.
What do you think this is, an X-rated bookstore?
It's actually
not?
The downtown public library. Where minutes earlier, we watched this patron log on to a pornographic website.
This is a library, for God's sakes. What are you looking at, man?
What are you looking at, man?
The show isn't just playing downtown.
Get away from me.
Undercover cameras, an incident report
at
show,
wildlife, man.
Pornography, and the security and freedom of speech issues.
NationalGeographic.com.
Being raised in libraries all over town, from Cleveland to the suburbs.
Is this the place to be looking at?
The guy's
only
trying to get out of
the
elevator
library. Scott Cooper pleasuring himself while viewing a porn site not far from the children's room.
What do you have to say to the public, that watched you do that?
That I'm sorry and that it will never happen again.
You better believe it.
You know, it's a criminal act to do that in public?
No, I did not know that.
We caught Cooper committing the lewd act during our recent investigation into library crime. More than 50 sex acts, assaults, and other incidents reported at the county and Cleveland libraries over the past 6 months. Our undercover tape of Cooper was viewed by Berea police, who filed public indecency
charges. And lots
charges.
Of other people.
Are you waiting statutory time?
At his arraignment, Cooper pleaded not guilty, and Judge Marissa Meyer set bond at $500,000.
What?
Until a $500,000
wait.
Cooper is undergoing psychiatric evaluation.
Dude, they
Carl Monday, witch. Channel 3 News.
Dude, they threw the book at this guy. $500,000 for masturbating in a library.
Are you proud of yourself, Mr. Monday?
Do you think they're going a little overboard on this guy?
Well, you know what? They're trying to make an example.
$500, that's $500,000. Like, how much is it usually, like Bond said, at? Is it individual basis?
Yeah, you know what? The judge determines what bond is required for people. A lot of times they set it higher if the person's a flight risk. Mr. Cooper obviously is not a flight risk. He's living with his parents in Cleveland. So I think they could pretty much find him pretty easily.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to get out on bail.
That's... You know, my favorite sports blog called Deadspin, and they've been picking up on the story quite a bit. And they did a story in early June, whenever this story first broke, about what a little comparison is in the bond. Now, this guy, Mike Cooper, jacking it in the library underneath his pants. It's not like he had his schwants out, for everyone to see.
Right.
Looking around, making sure nobody saw him. Just a desperate, lonely guy. He
needed his pornography. He needed to find his outlet for it.
Yeah. He got hit with a $500,000 bond, a $500,000
wow.
bond. Now, just to compare who's gotten around the same level, there was a $300,000 bail amount for a man charged with 250 rounds of ammunition being sent to Guyana in a barrel. So, an arms dealer, basically.
So, he's sending 250 bullets.
Yeah.
Through the mail. and he got a lower
FedExing
bond
it, yeah.
set.
Yeah. One guy, a $750,000 bail for a man who admitted to stabbing and killing another man.
Okay. So a little bit worse than masturbating.
Yeah.
Okay.
a $50,000 bail amount for a woman who is accused of shooting her sister.
Right.
So she actually got less by about...
And she shot somebody.
Yeah, by $250,000, and she shot her sister.
Why would this surprise you? The way everything is nowadays, anything dealing with sex is automatically just freaks people out.
Well, if she would have shot her in the library, would it have gone up a little?
If he would have shot a child in the library, he would have had lower bail. $150,000 bail amount for a man accused of entering a 66-year-old woman's house, beating and raping her.
Oh my God, less than $500,000?
A $50,000 bail amount for a man charged with a hit-and-run incident that killed a man.
Wow.
Second to last, $400,000 bail amount for the Duke LaCrosse rape suspects, and we end with $500,000 for masturbating in a library.
Now, was that later reduced?
Yes. In a moment of sanity, the bond was reduced to $500.
Do you think they wanted to make an example of him at first, that they had every intention of lowering?
You know what? The judge that set that bond saw her ticket to becoming governor or something.
Yeah.
You know, and she was like, I'll show you.
Thank you, Carl Monday. We hope you come up with some more news later on.
Carl Monday.
And I think I have discovered why Carl Monday is so angry with people that are pleasuring themselves or having pleasure. I found a picture of Carl Monday and his wife, and I am convinced that she is a transvestite. Allegedly.
Wow.
I will post this picture on the forum.
Now, Vanessa, you're a Mulberry Newswoman. You take Foggy with a camera, and we're going to get to the bottom of this story, all right?
Yeah, I'll get right on that. Can
you
I go with someone else?
This is an X-rated bookstore? This is a library, for God's sakes. What are you looking at, man?
The guy protects his local libraries, I'll say
he
that.
He loves his libraries.
Thank God for Carl Monday. A show that's come back that I don't watch. I don't really like this show, but some funny stuff sometimes happens on it, and that's Fear Factor. Now, Bill, did you see this week's Fear Factor?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I can't sit through an entire episode of Fear Factor.
Now, Joe Rogan, formerly of News Radio, he's been on Fear Factor for like 20 years now. Good Lord, when is this show going away is what I want to know.
It won't go
Andy
away.
Thinks he's a UFC fighter.
Now, Vanessa, what is the setup this year? They have all reality show people, contestants on it?
To be honest with you, it was one of those things where I saw it was on. I thought, oh, I'll just see it. You know, nothing else was on. And, yes, it was a reality star. And the thing that caught my eye is I remember Bill talking about someone getting in a fight. So that's when I definitely wanted to watch it. So I don't know if it's going to be a normal thing or not.
Yeah. No,
so
you know what? They do these special episodes because nobody watches Fear Factor anymore. Mm-hmm. So they have to do these, you know, it's reality all-stars.
And yeah, and it's always a couple. It's a man and a woman versus all the other couples. And yeah. Apparently this couple got in an argument and started getting riled up, and Joe Rogan had to put him in their place.
I mean, she held nothing back and knocked me backwards.
Look, if you and your husband hit each other, that's one thing. You don't run up and hit other contestants. No, hey.
After yelling at his wife the entire time, he's sticking up for her.
He got in Joe's face.
And then he got too close to Joe.
Please. Oh, my God.
And then all of a sudden, they start going at it. And I was like, all right, I got to break this up because Joe's going to kill him.
Hey.
And we have to go still. My partner's crying.
This is the greatest reality show ever.
I beg to differ, sir. But anyway, that's Fear Factor, the only episode worth watching.
Well, you know, the girl on there, I don't know, the one that they're arguing about, the blonde idiot.
Uh-huh.
They had to do this stunt, tunnel underwater and grab a skull from behind an alligator or a crocodile, I don't know which. And she was freaking out. I mean, she's like, oh my God, it's turned around, it's going to turn around, it's going to do. She was crying. Tunnel was narrow. They can't turn around like that. It was bumping its head on the wall. It was so narrow. And she said, it's going to get me. It's going to eat me. And she's freaking out.
What was the alligator doing down there?
Pleasuring himself.
Oh,
exactly,
good Lord.
Yes.
So it was busy anyway. It wouldn't have messed with her. Now, a show that everyone does watch is Last Comic Standing, right?
Right.
Now, this week I don't have any Josh Blue clips, which he's my favorite guy on there so far. Here's a little clip of another contestant, and you tell me whether this person should hit it big or not.
If you want your boobies somewhere else on your body, then you should use duct tape. So I gave it a try, and it worked. And then it got me really thinking, you got a double chin, you got crow's feet, what a...
She's taping herself all up.
With duct tape.
She went for it.
Prop comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Hi. All right, how does this work now? How do you get it out of your hair?
I pull it.
Oh.
And you got to have Kathy Griffin there to show everyone this is what success is, guys.
Kathy Griffin is success. Those two
Life
words are synonymous.
This Bravo.
This carrot-topped hoe bitch is what you're aiming for. This week, Hell's Kitchen came back on Fox. You guys all watch that, right? Bill?
Yes.
Steven?
I watched last season, and I forgot that it started this week.
Yeah, it was like
replaying it.
It was like a two-hour premiere.
That's when I was winning my poker.
Ah, I gotcha.
Yeah, I watched it last season and really enjoyed it. Well, I can't say I really enjoyed it. I enjoy Gordon Ramsay because he's just so over the top. You always wonder what he's going to do next.
He's very blunt. He never really holds back, does he? If you really want to know.
He's like way on the other side of Simon Cowell as far as berating people.
I almost feel like if he met you, like if you got in an argument with him and he yelled at you and then went in the back in an alley, he would most likely stab you in the kidneys.
I think if he ever met somebody, and I say this, you know, because I'm from Texas, but if he yelled at somebody from Texas like that, they'd probably beat the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But he's probably armed, though, so
no.
You never know.
Well, the best thing about him is...
He's British. They don't carry weapons.
You have the Simon Cowish thing where, you know, Simon Cowell will be like, he'll can do, that's dreadful, whereas Gordon Ramsay, you know, they always do this one thing at the beginning of the season where he has the contestants make their what they consider their best meal
or
their best dish. And he'll try it, and like if something's really bad, he'll just be like, oh, this is f***ing awful. You know, yeah, he just spit it on the floor.
Now, is it in a studio restaurant? It's not a real restaurant,
no,
right?
It's a real restaurant. It's up in New York.
It's in L.A.
It's in L.A., but I don't know if it's an... it might be a Gordon Ramsay restaurant, but it probably doesn't have the name Hell's Kitchen. They probably take the restaurant and, you know, use it during the year, but then whenever the time comes around to film the show, they use it as, you know, the TV studio.
If I saw the name Hell's Kitchen, I'm thinking barbecue is what they serve there. But anyway, in this clip here, a customer goes to complain about not getting something on his plate.
Lord.
Let's see what happens.
Keith? Yes? How long? Keith Stone, yes? Let me just serve this table.
Why? Because there's no pumpkin in my risotto.
Right, can you get out of the way? One spaghetti, one risotto? Yes? Oh, are you always going to be that rude and interrupt when I'm trying to talk?
I just want more pumpkin.
It's for my pumpkin.
Right, well, I'll get you more pumpkin. I'll ram it right up your... Do you like it whole or diced? Let me get security and get back to the seat, please, yeah?
You want pumpkin?
Nice. So,
God, yeah, you gotta love him.
Yeah, if you're a customer, you can't walk up to him and ask him for something. That's hilarious.
Steven, do you remember last season when those three chicks went up to complain about something, and he just ripped into them, calling them the C word and everything else?
Whoa.
They stood there like, you know, deer in headlights.
Well, they're used to guys drooling all over them.
And then you have the guy's name, the host. Like Jean-Pierre
his maitre d'.
Yeah, and he catches a lot of it from Gordon Ramsay.
Wow. And he smiles and takes it because, you know, he's just getting money.
Do you think that it's all an act, or is this guy really an a-hole?
No, he's known for being that way. Yeah, that's why they gave him the show.
That's him, huh?
Yeah,
that's him.
He has a show on BBC America also. Did you guys know that?
Yeah, the show that Hell's Kitchen... Yeah, it originated there, and, you know, like just like everything else, they bring it over here and try it out. I'm sure it was a much bigger hit over there, only because Gordon Ramsay is like the...
He's known over there.
Yeah, he's the guy over there, you know, he's known
for... He's like Emeril over here.
He's known for taking what, you know, people normally think bland British food and, you know, showing them...
Can I ram it right up your... Do you like it whole or diced?
Wow.
Are you always going to be that rude and interrupt when I'm trying to talk?
That's how good his food must be, because they still come back.
Yeah, I mean, would you go back to, say, Big Boy if you asked for extra fries and they told you this?
Can I ram it right up your... Do you like it whole or diced?
I think the majority of the people that go to the Hell's Kitchen thing, they just want to be on TV.
Right. If I went there, I'd be like, I'm going to go ask him something because I'm going to get ripped and be on TV. He's going to shove French bread up my ass, and this is going to be genius.
You know, and they think they might have an ultimate comeback for him, you know, to bust him.
But they get frozen in headlights.
Because
he doesn't care.
And that guy there is just like, well, okay, I'm going to go sit down.
He's like, I just want pumpkin.
Nice
comeback to me. What do you usually do?
One thing you really don't want to do is go to Hell's Kitchen early in the taping of the season, because you'll never get your food.
Right.
You know, if you're going there to get dinner, don't count on it.
Yeah.
Because he closes the kitchen down, you know, during
Most the
first
time,
serving.
Yeah.
If people don't have their food in the first 20 minutes.
Wow. Well, you know what? I'm going to check it out. I'm going to TiVo it this week.
If you're a foodie, it's a great show to watch. Well, that's, you know, people call themselves foodie. I consider myself a foodie. I love, you know, going out to eat, trying new foods.
I enjoy eating.
You know, yeah, if you enjoy eating, and I'm not talking about, you know, In-N-Out Burger or McDonald's or anything like that. I'm talking about, you know, going to restaurants and trying different things, trying some, not being afraid, eating a poisonous fish.
Can I ram it right up your... Do you like it whole or diced?
Entourage is back. Aquaman is coming out. It's about to premiere. And there was a great cameo by James Woods here where he gets to give Kevin Dillon a noogie because he's got his tickets to the premiere. A lot of good comic stuff there. It shows that Ari, Jeremy Piven's character, he's in this very low-rent office. If Aquaman is not a hit, Ari's going to be in a lot of trouble. And, of course, the guys, they don't really care that much. But the gist of the episode was Vincent has this big premiere to go to, and they're trying to get him to go with all these different women, but he wants his mom to go. And I didn't know who was going to play his mom, but when they showed the actress's mom, I went, of course, it's Mercedes Rule. Of course they'd get her to be his mom.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing is all the moms get to go to the big premiere. Now, it ends on a note wondering is Aquaman going to be a big hit? I'm kind of thinking that it's not going to be. You know, that would make for a better dramatic. But also, you got to think if this is kind of loosely based on Mark Wahlberg, right?
Right.
Is this Planet of the Apes? Or is it not paralleling that much in real life?
What was earlier than that?
Mark Wahlberg. Let's see. Three Kings. That was a great movie.
I love that movie.
Previous
yeah,
to
it's
that,
a great movie.
I'm trying to think. What all?
I don't know. He was in a couple.
And, that might have been think, the
Oh, Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights,
it,
yeah.
No, you know what it would have been? It would have been the big hit, that horrible movie he did with...
No, it couldn't be that. That was horrible. I'm thinking it's paralleling Planet of the Apes. It's got to be, because James Cameron's a big director. Tim Burton, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. So, anyway, here's a clip to this week's Entourage. Let's check it out.
Not even 10 a.m. and it's burning up out there.
I know. My widget says it's 96 already.
Why are you sitting like that? Seriously.
I brought you this for luck on the opening today.
What is this, a little Taibo instructor?
That is an authentic 12th century Yongqi warrior, Ari. He is the Mongolian symbol for strength. If you carry him, you cannot be stopped.
No, this is Hollywood, Lloyd. The only thing Mongolian is barbecue, but thanks. I'll take what I can get.
Oh, and I got you in with Dr. Marcus at 4:30.
Dr. Marcus?
Yeah, your wife called and said she needed an emergency session.
Why didn't you just tell her that I didn't have time?
Because you do have time.
Why didn't you lie?
Because I'm scared of your wife, Ari.
Now, I'm thinking Ari and his agent are my favorite characters so far, right now, this season. They're the funniest things. But you got Turtle. Kevin Dillon is always hilarious. It was great with him trying to cheat James Woods out of his ticket. So, anyway, that was Entourage this week. We'll talk about it again next week.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Want to get hosting for your podcast? Let me rephrase that. Want to get hosting for your podcast without paying a bandwidth bill? Then make the switch to SwitchPod.com. Take a look at SwitchPod's free podcast hosting, free to you and a small ad in your feed. Or you can get a premium ad-free account for as little as $3 a month. You're happy? We're happy. Switch it over and switch it on. SwitchPod.com. Podcast hosting the way it should be.
All right, guys, let's do the news.
It's nice, guy. Let's do it.
Previously on Mulberry News.
What the hell's going on? I don't remember this happening last week.
Did this really happen?
Maybe it did. Maybe it's when I went to the bathroom. All right, Vanessa, we're going to do the news a little bit different this week because Bill has some important news stories he wants to do, so we're going to do back and forth. Point, counterpoint, if you will, much like a ping pong table, right?
All right, a Missouri woman has been arrested for breaking into a dog breeder's home and beating her repeatedly over the head with a dead chihuahua.
Whoa!
Nice.
Nice. That's a good thing to beat something with.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
The woman was upset because the puppy had died, police told the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the newspaper.
Did it die during the beating, maybe?
No. The woman, whose name was being withheld pending charges, said a veterinarian had told her the puppy she had bought, just 4 weeks old, had needed to be returned to its mother. It died before she had a chance to do so, and the woman went to the breeder's home in St. Peters, Missouri, about 5:45 in the morning on Wednesday. She pushed her way into the house and tried to get into the basement to grab another puppy. But after some hair pulling, the breeder managed to wrestle the woman out of her house. When she got outside, she started hitting the breeder on the head with the dead puppy, drawing the attention of a neighbor who called the police. The woman went back to her car, but waved the dead puppy out of the sunroof while yelling threats at the breeder, who did not need medical attention.
That's more than just bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, the dog's dead. What the hell are you doing beating someone with it and then waving it like a flag?
Out the sunroof, I know. The dog owner could face felony burglary and misdemeanor assault charges.
Felony chihuahua waving.
dead chihuahua assault.
What the hell is wrong with people?
Go and eat it.
Oh,
yeah, there's
it.
Plenty of Koreans that would eat that chihuahua.
Gosh.
Okay, I had to do this one just because it was so incredibly bizarre along the lines of Vanessa's story. Dateline, Jamaica. Alleged lotion thief fined $5,000. A man who stole a bottle of St. Ives lotion told the court that he did it because he was hungry. Perhaps that's why he chose the cucumber melon scent. Eek. Barry Ferguson's 46, who is of no fixed address. He's homeless. I love the way they say that.
Can we get security?
Who is of no fixed address. That's just such a politically correct term for saying.
Yeah, he's in between homes at the moment.
He lives on the bus stop bench.
Yeah.
Appeared before resident magistrate Judith, no lie, pussy, in the corporate magistrate's court on Thursday. Ferguson was charged with simple larceny and escaping custody after he attempted to have the lockup where he was being held. What the hell? Do they speak English in Jamaica? Speaking English? The court heard that on June 8th, the security guard at a supermarket in the Pavilion Mall observed Ferguson placing a bottle of lotion worth $229.55.
Whoa.
Now that 55 cents sent it over. You know, 229, okay, but 55 cents extra? He was placing it in his waistband. He was held outside and searched, and the bottle of lotion found on his person, as opposed to found on him.
Right.
He was arrested and charged for simple larceny and taken to the police station, where he's placed in a room for processing. The arresting officer reportedly went to another office and heard an uproar when he returned. He later learned that Ferguson attempted to escape by jumping through a window. He was, however, held by officers and charged with escaping custody. He was fined $5,000 or 6 months imprisonment for simple larceny and $2,000 or 2 months for escaping custody. This poor bum is hungry. He sees that there's this magical lotion that tastes like cucumber and melon, and it will make him feel so much better. And yet, he gets slapped with $5,000 that he doesn't have. Basically, this man has lotion. You're going to jail
for lotion.
Okay, for so, 8 months.
So wow. Well, at least he has a place to live now.
So he goes to steal a $200 bottle of lotion versus going to store and actually stealing a $5 melon.
Yeah, steal an apple or something. What the hell is this guy thinking?
The cute
wasn't.
Melon lotion is just extremely tasty.
What the hell? This shit must moisturize the hell out of your skin.
Now they can say Barry Ferguson, 46, of local county prison instead of who was of no fixed address.
Well, good. He's got a better title now.
All right. This banana split was topped with something more potent than just a cherry. A motorist was arrested and charged with possession of a controlled substance after he was caught with two rocks of crack cocaine that he had hidden in his ice cream dessert.
Oh, yes.
Oscar Martinez of Richmond had been pulled over by police officer David Bentley last Sunday after he failed to stop at a pedestrian crossing on the campus of Wharton County Junior College. Bentley discovered that Martinez had a suspended driver's license and an outstanding traffic warrant.
Oh, shit.
Richmond police spokesman Sergeant Lowell Neinstadt said Martinez told Bentley that he really wished he could just finish his banana split he had in his car. When Bentley saw the melting banana split on the floorboard of the Martinez car, he noticed that it was topped with a square-shaped object that turned out to be crack cocaine. One of the crack rocks was sitting right on top of the bananas. Once he found the first crack rock, he figured there had to be more inside. He emptied it out, and there it was. Martinez was arrested and charged with driving with a suspended license, a traffic warrant, and a possession of a controlled substance in a drug-free zone, a third-degree felony. He was released from the Fort Bend County Jail after posting an $8,500 bond. I've been doing this for 20 years, and I could have given you all kinds of stories, but this is really one of a kind, the police said. But I tell you, it's true.
Oh, my God!
Wow. I'm speechless. What? You know what? People never cease to amaze me with their stupidity.
Why? Well,
I really
first
just
want
to finish my Sunday. Oh, draw attention to the Sunday.
I'm sorry, officer. I have a suspended license, and I shouldn't be driving. But can I finish this Sunday?
Yeah, exactly. He gave himself away.
And what Sunday's that? Oh, the one down here with a crack rock on top.
It kind of reminds me of like Brady Bunch or something, where it's like, hey, where's your brother? Not in the closet, and just stand right in front of it. Like, I think he's in the closet.
He's not naked in the closet.
Who's he in the closet with?
Oh, that's a whole nother story.
This one, the story is out of Australia, but it has to do with the Middle East. Piglet keeps poo off air. Turkey's public television, TRT, controlled by the Islamist-rooted government, has barred the popular Walt Disney cartoon Winnie the Pooh from air because it has a piglet as one of its main heroes, the Turkish press reported today. Several other cartoons featuring pigs also failed to win the green light from the TRT management, according to the left-wing Cumhuriyet Daily. The station initially considered scissoring the scene showing Piglet, but abandoned the idea because the small pink-skinned character, one of Winnie the Pooh's closest friends, appeared too often, Cumhuriyet and the mass-circulation Sabah newspaper said. TRT officials were not immediately available for comment. Pigs are regarded as unclean by Muslims, and Islam prohibits the consumption of pork. Winnie the Pooh has been aired on other television channels in Turkey, and its videos are easily available at the stores.
Struggling.
Employees have recently complained of increasing government intervention in TRT's broadcasting.
But they
policy.
Don't eat Piglet. He's just a guy walking around. He's adorable. I love that little guy.
If they're showing a pig in a clean manner, that's a problem.
So basically, we have crazy Muslims who don't want to see pigs on TV.
And
Winnie the Pooh is suffering from it. The poor children.
You stop it.
All right, why don't we all stop it, okay?
All right, more than a bell is needed to save Dustin Diamond this time around. Diamond, best known as Geeky Screech Powers on
Screech!
The 1993 teen comedy series Saved by the Bell, is selling T-shirts with his photo on them to try to raise $250,000 so he doesn't lose his gray two-story house under a foreclosure order.
Oh, no.
You know, what about me?
If the public didn't care, I as an entertainer wouldn't have been a success, he said. Dustin, who is 29, is trying to sell nearly 30,000 shirts at $15 or $20, which he has autographed, to supplement the income he makes as a stand-up comic so he doesn't have to move from his Port Washington home.
That's money well spent.
Yeah.
I'd buy a Screech shirt.
Me too.
The T-shirt has a photo of Dustin holding a sign that says, "Save my house." The back of the shirt reads, "I paid $15 to save Screech's house."
Gold,
the third, Jerry, gold. The third E in the, they spell it Screech with three E's, and the reason he did this is to save him from, you know, copyright laws.
Copyright infringement.
Yeah. You can buy the T-shirt if you like on getdshirts.com. The foreclosure order was filed last month in Azuka County Circuit Court. I'm doing great with comedy, but this is definitely a low point, he said. Real life comes in and affects you. Diamond doesn't have a listed phone number and emails to the address on his website, and an alternative address were not immediately returned for comment.
Wow, so
he's hit Screech. The skids.
Poor Screech. Now, hey, has anyone seen his stand-up act? How is it?
It's horrible.
I've heard it's pretty bad.
You're talking rubbish.
It can't be that bad.
Proposal to jack off.
Yeah, I have one last story, and this one's important because it comes from my hometown, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Awesome.
Now, before I start the story, I want to know if anyone has heard of furries.
Of what?
Furries.
Yes.
Spell it?
Unfortunately.
Is it?
Steven, why is it that you know what furries are?
I'm guessing it's some kind of ice cream treat.
No.
Oh boy, you're in for a treat.
If you watch HBO sex shows...
And you watch them, Steven? You watch sex shows on HBO?
It's the yes. I'm not. Well, I have seen some. Yes. I'm not gonna say I watch them all
the
time.
Why don't you answer on the subject a little more, there, Mike Cooper? Okay.
Never,
so
perform a sexual act at the library.
It's the ones that, you know, they're supposed to be informative sex shows.
What if I told you we got video of you performing a sexual act?
Yes, there's nothing more informative than real sex on HBO.
Yes.
Now, Steven...
what do you think this is, an X-rated bookstore?
Yes.
This is a library, for God's sakes.
Yes, it's a library?
What are you looking at, man? Oh, I must have gotten my directions messed up.
I thought it was a convenience store.
Okay, so to do the story here, the headline is Furries Descend on Golden Triangle. Now, the Golden Triangle is the area in Pittsburgh where the rivers meet, you know, how the Ohio and Monongahela, or the Monongahela and the Allegheny meet and create the Ohio River.
Of course. All right.
So, Pittsburgh, if you bump into a giant lion in downtown Pittsburgh this weekend, don't worry, it's just one of the furries. AnthroCon, the world's largest furry convention, is being held this weekend at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. It's a gathering of about 2,500 people who focus on anthropomorphics, fictional animal characters with human personalities and characteristics.
Patrons performing sexual acts.
And they just happen to leave off the fact that they like to have sex with these crazy costumes on.
Wow.
I have sex with costumes on.
At the annual convention, enthusiasts dress up in masks and full-length animal costumes, including big furry tails. Uh-huh.
With the little area cut out for your genitals show.
Yeah.
Is that a tail in your pocket?
Channel 4 Action News anchor Sally Wiggin said their elaborate costumes can cost upward of $1,000. Many of them are walking around the Golden Triangle in full gear, drawing some confused looks from others on the streets. Now, if for some reason I wish I was actually back home this weekend so I could see all these insane people walking around in 90-degree weather in full animal costumes. A giant raccoon or a donkey or something, and then have sex with each other. I think they actually did a episode of a CSI involving murder at a furries convention.
Awesome!
Yeah, because it's...
Love that show!
And I'm sure Gil Grissom had a terrific one-liner at the very beginning of the show.
All right, Paris Hilton had a fender bender accident when her Range Rover backed into a car in a parking garage after a shopping trip. Hilton backed into a parked Honda Civic on Thursday. A videotape on TMZ.com website showed Hilton getting into the car, saying goodbye to someone, and backing up. The sound of a crash followed. The video showed scrapes on the bumpers of both vehicles. The Range Rover stopped briefly, then continued on toward the exit of the parking structure. TMZ.com indicated Hilton failed to leave contact information for the Honda's owner and thus may have violated laws against hit and run. Her publicist, of course, denied it. She did not commit a crime, said her publisher. She was sworn by the paparazzi. The intensity of the lights, flashbulbs momentarily disoriented her. She backed up. There was a minor fender bender, no injuries. She then told me she notified one of the parking people at the facility how to contact her and asked the person to please pass that along.
You're a slut. You dress like a slut. You look like a slut.
To the owner of the struck car. She did the correct thing, and she would not leave the scene of a crime.
That's good. Good job, Paris.
And, of course, this ass-kissing publisher said, Paris is a very responsible and very good driver. She takes it seriously.
She takes her driving seriously.
Yeah. This was unfortunate, and it will be handled appropriately. So...
That's she takes me. Everything seriously, including oral sex. Last week on The View, you know, now that Meredith Vieira is gone,
right.
They're having different people on. Well, they had not exactly the prettiest woman, comedian Sandra Bernhardt, on.
Oh, Lordy.
They were talking about the First Lady, Laura Bush. I think Bernhardt said that Laura Bush looks like she's always heavily medicated. And that ditz, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, spoke up, and I guess an argument ensued.
All right, let's check out the video.
Because we've
what do you think of Laura Bush?
I think she's
heavily medicated.
Pardon, about Laura Bush, excuse me? Why? Because she advocates for education for children and protects...
Honey, she advocates and then she
disappears. Don't call me. First of all, honey, honey yourself, Laura Bush has stood out there and talked to millions of people.
Laura Bush has
stood out there. Sit your ass down, Joey Behar.
Education has gone out there, talked to, especially now in this day and age.
She is thanks to Sarah Bernhardt. Sandra, you know what?
Okay, what the hell was that? You know what that all that sounded like to me is this.
you're so right. It's like
I didn't understand a damn word.
Neither did I. All I heard was, "I'll tell you something, honey."
What is that, honey? Don't you call me honey?
Goodness, she's got problems.
I've never heard Sandra Bernhardt. She uses honey like
she's such an airhead. And,
wow, that's heavy.
Yeah, I mean, just she's your guest. Just shut up. She'll leave. You can go storm off to your dressing room and powder your nose. She should have said this.
Can I ram it right up your? Do you like it whole or die?
Police confiscated the car and driver's license of a Dutchman caught speeding who said he only wanted to dry his car after he had washed it. The 27-year-old was stopped in Amsterdam driving equivalent to 68 miles per hour, which is about 30 miles over the speed limit. Because he did not have his driver's license with him, his clean car was confiscated. So what an excuse. I was just trying to drive my car.
I've done that.
Yeah. Who hasn't?
I've taken it to a car wash, and if it's not full service and I don't have anything to dry it off with, I'll blow out the engine going down the road trying to get the water off.
I have two.
I don't like water spots. How fast do you have to go to get rid of water spots?
Now, Vanessa,
hit people.
Vanessa, what was the speed limit where he was driving?
Well, they had it in kilometers, but he was going 68 kilometers per hour, which they said is 30 kilometers over the speed limit.
God, it's slow news day wherever that is.
I know, but it's just. I would love to hear an officer just give the stories people use to get out of tickets, because you know they have to get some doozies. You know, people reason why they're speeding. I was under attack by bees. I think I've heard that one.
All right, Vanessa, thanks for the news this week. And Bill, thank you for joining in. Now, is there cult news this week?
You better believe it. In cult news, it's been a busy week for Scientologists Jenna and Bodhi Elfman.
Oh, different Scientologists.
Yes.
We're just Scientologists.
Scientologists nonetheless. If Cruz's recent public displays weren't evidence enough, Scientologists Jenna and Bodhi Elfman proved that they, too, are willing to go to a great length to defend their religion. Indie film director John Roker, who I've never heard of, tells TMZ he was walking to his car. I think that's what they say. Oh, I'm an indie film director. What have you done? Nothing.
I'm an indie film director then.
This indie film director, John Roker, tells TMZ he was walking to his car with a female friend in LA's Trende Los Feliz neighborhood last Sunday.
Beautiful when he side was of town.
When he was approached by a shirtless man and a tall blonde. "Hey, man, you're making fun of my religion," said the stranger angrily. Roker,
we're just Scientologists,
quickly recognized the couple as actor Bodhi Elfman and his wife, Dharma and Greg star Jenna Elfman.
Did anybody really recognize Bodhi Elfman?
It's Jenna Elfman and some other guy.
Who are you again? Mr. Elfman's ire was apparently drawn by Roker's self-made T-shirt, which had a picture of Tom Cruise on the front under the caption, "Scientology is gay," and a Staying Alive-era John Travolta on the back with the words, "Very gay." So according to Rocker, whose encounter was first reported on LA's K-Rock FM's Kevin and Bean show, he doesn't have a name, it's just Bean. The invective started to fly after he made several references to Scientology's theology, and its reported central tenet, the story of Xenon. Roker said Jenna repeatedly said, "What crimes have you committed?" and began screaming at Roker, "Have you raped a baby?" as motorists on Los Feliz Boulevard drove by in in snarled traffic. Roker says it appears that Bodie Elfman prepared to take a swing at him, but thought against it. Bizarrely, Roker also said that the Elfmans had a young 20-something male companion with them who they continually instructed to move away and cover his ears whenever references to Xenu were made. Cover your ears! It's a lie!
Did this really happen?
Roker says that this is not the first time he's worn the t-shirt and has provoked similar reactions from fellow devotees of L. Ron Hubbard like Juliet Lewis, Lisa Marie Presley, and actor Hal Osman, who worked on Dawson's Creek with none other than a certain Katie Holmes.
I disagree with it.
Sources at the Church of Scientology Celebrity Center say Roker is no stranger to them. Several non-celeb parishioners have also complained about Roker's t-shirts. Bodie Elfman's rep, Jenna Weinman, tells TMZ that according to Bodie, he was out for a Sunday stroll with his wife when some guy walks by with a t-shirt on, God forbid, very prominently attacking his religion. As they went about their business, the guy continued to elicit negative responses from the both of them. As they walked away, he continued to scream propaganda and hate at them. Apparently, he spent all Monday calling the press to promote himself.
Well, you know, in their defense, an out-of-work independent director did call the morning zoo to tell him about it.
So well, sure. But still, it's funny. I mean, Scientology is dead. This is the most important story. Mm-hmm. Many of us who watch Smallville have an extreme distaste for this girl. And for her to get involved with a crazy cult...
Bang Ladesh.
...is the cherry on top of our Sunday of hatred. Has a cult recruited Smallville star Kristen Kruick?
Oh, no.
Kristen Kruick, the WB star that plays Lana Lang on Smallville, was spotted in Albany, New York, attending a 5-day intensive of the controversial Large Group Awareness Training Program.
Oh my God!
Nexium, like the purple pill for acid reflux. Nexium has been called a cult and described as extremely dangerous by critics. Its leader, Keith Raniere, known as Vanguard, his followers, made the cover of Forbes magazine in 2003.
Known as what?
Vanguard.
Vanguard.
He calls himself Vanguard.
Okay.
Can we get security?
He was on the cover of Forbes magazine in 2003 as the world's strangest executive coach.
You know what else he's known by?
Carl Monday.
Oh my God!
I knew it! The Forbes article titled Cult of Personality reports that people see a darker and more manipulative side to Keith Raniere. Detractors say he runs a cult-like program aimed at breaking down his subjects psychologically, separating them from their families, and inducing them into a bizarre world of messianic pretensions, idiosyncratic language, and ritualistic practices.
Now tell us what that means.
It's some scary stuff, man.
Basically, you get into messianic pretensions. That means, messianic.
You know
Messiah.
Now, Bill, do you guys know how all this happens? It's someone's like, you know what? I've been going to this thing, and it's really enlightened me. It's made me into a better person. I really wish you'd come along with me. Oh, okay, I'll come along. Don't go, all right? No. Tell them this.
Okay, I'll ram it right up your do you like it whole or diced?
Would you like it whole or diced is what they need to know.
Yeah. A source has told Cult News that Kristen Kruick has been attending the cult-like program since Saturday and that the program will continue through today. The actress was accompanied by her boyfriend and is one of about 40 people attending the intensive at the Nexium headquarters in upstate New York. Some Nexium program participants have sought psychiatric treatment subsequent to attending the group's intensives. One participant was hospitalized and another committed suicide.
I guess she didn't get any movie deals in the off season.
Yeah. According to a reliable source, Kristen Kruick is one of about 10 new participants in the NXIVM currently going through its initial training in an Albany building. The training took place in a windowless, monitored, tightly controlled room, which included frequent adjustments in room temperature.
How come there's never a window? That's what I want to know.
I know. God forbid they see the outside.
It's distracting.
The fee for this five-day intensive is around $2,000, depending on when participants sign up. NXIVM says the five-day intensive training provides participants with a clear understanding of the first principles of success. It constitutes the first 5 days of the 16-day intensive and encompassing the foundational practices of both the ethos and origins of the programs. God, I love cults with crazy words. You know?
I'm really worried about Lana.
Yeah, well, you know what? I hope she gets involved and maybe jumps off a bridge. You know, that's the only good thing that can come out of this, her no longer being on Smallville.
Wow, that's crazy. I've never even heard of this.
All of you join my new cult.
Mulberry-tology,
I like that.
Yeah, why? I don't understand why actors, actresses, why is it always actors and actresses that fall into this?
I know,
crazy
because
shit?
They have money. It's like, hey, cha-ching, let's get this jackass in here.
But it's like they're always looking for something to better themselves. I don't understand it. Well, why can't they just be happy with what they are and what they have?
No one is ever happy. Unless you join Mulberry-tology. Here's a little commercial.
What do you want from me?
Everything.
Exactly.
Welcome to
Mulberry-tology.
Sign up
today. And that's cult news for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. And I think it's time for DVDs. What do you say?
Let's do some DVDs.
Ow!
Woo!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs!
DVDs!
Yay! Okay, Bill!
Thanks for the chorus there.
Oh, yeah, that was
I don't interrupt when I'm trying to talk.
Whoa.
I especially loved the harmony in the background of Vanessa Dion.
What do you think this is, an X-rated bookstore? This is a library, for God's sakes. What are you looking at, man?
What are you looking at, man? All right, Bill, what do we got this week in DVDs?
And I'll ram it right up your... Do you like it whole or diced?
Whoa!
Well, I like
let's
it
start
diced,
off with a DVD set that asks you, in fact, if you want it whole or diced.
No. Hey!
The Adventures of Superboy, the complete first season.
Get out of here.
Nice.
No, I will not get out of here.
We're just going to wait here for a little while until things quiet down, if you don't mind.
I love the tag on the front of this. A college education can be a real adventure. He's no longer a child and not yet a man.
Beautiful.
He's a boy. A college boy, in fact. 26 episodes of the series that ran 4 heroic seasons.
You know, I've watched this show.
Did you really?
Yes. I'm going to check it out.
Because the dude's got that really bad curly Q, and he's
that's
like,
a great thing.
He's like, he looks like little Hercules, you know, with the muscles and just mini Superboy. So yeah, hey, if you're a fan of Superboy, pick it up.
Retarded.
And also to cash in on the release of the Superman Returns, they're releasing the George Reeves Adventures of Superman in a complete season set. So if you like Superman, or you remember it if you're old.
So he's a dumbass.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
The Charlie Chan Collection, Volume 1, if you love your...
One, two, go and eat it.
Your white men playing Asian men.
Yeah, that was a little off balance back then. Jeez.
Pick it up. We happen to have another Paul Walker DVD this week. And this movie actually got good reviews, and I think I might check it out only because I enjoyed... Running Scared so much. I gotta give him some props. 8 Below, a Disney film about lost snow dogs or something.
I heard that was a good family film.
Yeah, I heard it was. It wasn't bad. Here's a film that I saw a while back. You guys might have saw it. I don't know. It's called 18. It's got Ian McKellen and Alan Cumming in it. It's not the best movie, but it interest me, so you might want to check it out. It's a little, you know, shitty indie movie.
And at any point in the movie, does Ian McKellen say, "The war has begun"?
No, but I think at some point in it, he throws a bridge across a gigantic span of water.
Awesome!
And then Rock mutants on. Come running across it.
Across?
Yes. So Criterion is releasing some really great DVDs this year, starting with Equinox. Before he took you to a galaxy far, far away, before he brought you face-to-face with living, breathing, prehistoric beasts, Dennis Muren, the future 8-time Oscar-winning visual effects artist from Star Wars and Jurassic Park.
Guy's got a full mantle there.
Created an homage to the creature feature of Yore, and in the eerie monster mash, Equinox. This $6,500 budget... Good lord.
I think that was a monster coexisting with us.
I think that was a Yeti.
So you've seen it, Bill?
Yeah, I have seen it. I saw it quite a few years ago. I was young.
It was pretty entertaining.
You know what? Yeah, from what I can remember of it, I only saw it once. So
constant rubbing against my manhood.
I definitely want to see it again. It includes two versions of the film, a new restored high-definition transfer of the theatrical release, and a never-before-seen original cut. So, and then it has A Journey into the Supernatural, which is a featurette created from rare source materials. So this is definitely a Netflixer for anyone that's even slightly interested in it. This one I haven't checked out only because I really don't like new Hollywood remake. The Hills Have Eyes.
You know who did that, don't you?
You mean the original Wes Craven film?
No.
Or this one?
Yeah.
I think this one was actually directed by the guy that directed Hot Tension, Alexandre Aja or Aha or whatever. I can't
remember
his name. Yeah, I might check it out. I know Wes Craven produced it, so, you know, there's some sort of, I guess you would call it nod there, saying, okay, go ahead and do it. But this is the releasing it in the standard theatrical and the unrated, which they always have to slap something on it that says the version to die for.
When stuff like this happens, I heard they're making a remake of Evil Dead and Sam Raimi's producing it. I think what it is over time, films do get forgotten about. The newest generations don't know about it. Like, we know Evil Dead, we know The Hills Have Eyes, but, you know, like, my nephew doesn't. So maybe he watches the new one, and that was a remake, buys it on DVD, checks it out. Maybe that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Whenever the person who was originally involved with the original is involved with the remake, you can't help but think maybe, you know, they're giving it its, you know, props, for a lack of a better term.
They're putting the defibrillator back to their old movie and trying to bring it back
to life.
Yeah,
so that people check it out again.
Exactly.
So this is a... it's got... do you pronounce your name Emily DeRaven, the girl from Lost?
I believe so, yes.
Because it's a weird spelling. But it's got audio commentary from the director and screenwriter and producer, and then it's got a commentary from Wes Craven. So he actually has a commentary on this.
He was great in Project Greenlight.
Plus, you gotta love the original Hills Have Eyes with, I can't remember his name, that creepy dude with, like, the Cro-Magnon brow and those big eyes.
He was also a genius in Weird Science. I'd hate to lose my teaching job.
No. Or, yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah, that's him.
I think so.
That's him.
That is him. That is him. He also reminds me of the lead singer from Midnight Oil. I always thought that was the same guy when I was a kid. I was like, hey, isn't it the same? Oh, wait, it isn't. Justice League of America Season 2.
Excuse me.
I love the Justice League series. This is the predecessor from Justice League Unlimited, and it's just as good. I'm sure it's loaded. I'm not even going to get into it.
Damn, dude.
I'm scrolling down through these DVDs, and you can't help but laugh how people try to capitalize on what's currently out in the theaters. Some little company called Inspired Corporation has a DVD called Little Cars, The Big Race, and the cover looks like the cars from Pixar's Cars.
They're going to fool some people.
Yeah. So it's like a little kid goes to the store and goes, Mommy, Mommy, I want that. And they get home and put it in and go, what the hell is it? Warner Brothers is just blowing their load on Superman.
They have opened the vault.
They get rid of all this crap. Yeah,
they are emptying the vault.
You've got the Terry Hatcher, Dean Cain, Lane Smith series, Lois and Clark. You've got the complete seasons 1-3 coming out. They've even got a DVD out called Look Up in the Sky, The Amazing Story of Superman. It's an hour and a half coverage of all the incarnations of Superman, which... who the hell would buy?
I don't know. I mean, you I understand kind of, but if you're a fan of these already and you're waiting for them to come out, but I don't get the, hey, Superman's coming out. I'm going to go load up on every Superman DVD I can find in the store.
I'm going to do my homework and make sure that they're true to this story.
Yeah.
Here's really one flaming. For Jason.
Ooh.
News Radio, the complete fourth season.
Ah, yes.
Foggy has some great drops of it.
Yes, he does. Foggy loves the shit out of News Radio.
I love that drop. I never got into it, but
it's a great show.
I'm gonna start putting them on my Netflix queue and watching the seasons.
That time period where sitcoms are on every channel, things get drowned out. You miss things. You don't see them, and they're gone before you know it. And News Radio, believe me, is a great show. It's hilarious. And
News Radio was on in like the mid to late 90s, right?
Right. And Joe Rogan, he's great on it.
Does he put anyone in submission holds?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely. Okay.
Yeah, usually it's
security.
Andy Dick.
Yeah.
Oh, and Phil Hartman. How could
Phil Hartman is genius on that show, and I miss him. I miss my...
I sent you this DVD in a bootleg version, Jason. Night Watch. It's a Russian film.
I'm going to get in trouble, Bill.
Oh, sorry. Russian film from director Timur...
Can we get security?
Oh, no.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yes, he's a great director.
But this... The greatest thing about this film is that it's different. You know, it's different from your typical horror, action, anything like that. And it's out of Russia, and they shot it on a shoestring budget, and it's got great special effects. And it's just really nice to see good films coming out from, countries that people have, pretty much abandoned when it comes to films.
Now, Bill, I've got my book of cliches here, and here's one. It's visually stunning.
Yes, or... I like the quote that they use on the front of it. They had to dig for quotes, I guess, and they came up with Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool News, cool as hell.
Nice.
if you don't know what it's about, there's a little summary here, and it says, among normal humans live the others, possessing various supernatural powers.
Others?
Yes. They're divided up into forces of light and forces of dark, who signed a
vaccine. We don't want him to get sick.
Who signed a truce several centuries ago to end a devastating battle. Ever since, the forces of light govern the day while the night belongs to their dark opponents.
Sweet.
In modern day, the dark others actually roam the night as vampires, while Night Watch of light forces, among them Anton, the lead character, try to control them and limit their outrage.
Are there any death dealers in this?
That's kind of what it is. It's like, the vampires come out at night, and the Night Watch, which are the good guys, basically prevent them from, killing people. And stuff goes awry, and they've got to figure out why
I thought
why
Night
this...
Watch was a clock, like a Timex.
Yeah, right.
One that has a Dayglo face.
Smartass. But I really enjoyed Night Watch, and the sequel, Day Watch, is even better.
This is about another kind of watch.
My favorite was Baywatch.
And then people making fun of some good movies, and you're pissing me off.
No, dude, I've started watching this, and I've never gotten back to it, but I will. It does look really cool.
And it is cool. And Daywatch is just as cool. And then I think they're going to do Dawn Watch, which is the last.
That
it's a trilogy.
That was the biggest load of crap I've ever heard.
Blow it out your ass. The Omen Collector's Edition. Why not capitalize on the recent remake?
Man, that's cold.
Have they released an Omen, like, triple disc?
I don't even know.
It's
I don't even want to get into
it. Sextuple disc.
I think they digged up
six.
Great...
Six.
Oh,
six.
Dude, that would be awesome! Six-disc set? There's six-disc sets, all with chromium covers.
They dug up Gregory Peck and had him do a commentary for it, which basically consists of...
The Undead!
There's a commentary from Richard Donner, because everyone wants to know what he thinks.
Love Dick Donner. Yeah, Dickie Donner.
And the editor, Stuart Baird.
Who is a director in his own right.
Yes. So, yeah, hey, if you don't have the Omen already, why not? Pick it up. It's all for you, Damien. Superman the Animated Series, Volume 1 through 3. If you haven't already bought the other volumes, you can get them all in one.
The best Superman! Hello!
The animated series of Superman and...
That was so gay.
Hey!
I have to agree, though.
Up your like a hole of dice.
Because I loved Superman, the animated series, and Batman, the
animated himself.
Series.
Bill!
I'm sorry, I can't help myself, Carl!
What do you think this is, Bill?
What do you think this is, an X-rated bookstore?
Like, first of all, Carl, you don't jerk in X-rated bookstores either. You'd still go to jail for that.
My GPS said this was the Lion's Den.
Yeah, that would be great. It's like, well, my GPS... Oh, sorry. Took a wrong turn back there, Carl.
Can we get security?
Are you on a widescreen and full-screen editions?
I have not seen this. Heard it's great. Would like to see it. Someone buy it and loan it to me.
I have it already, but I haven't watched it, so... Might be good, it might not be.
I still want to see The Constant Gardener, for Christ's sakes.
I haven't watched that yet.
With a rake.
Is that good, Vanessa?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
If you need your retarded Leonardo DiCaprio... Leonardo. What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Collector's Edition.
Sorry about that.
Nothing better than Leonardo DiCaprio on top of a water tower. You go, hey, look at me on the water tower.
Also known as Leonardo.
This movie was good, but it was extremely depressing.
Yeah.
You know, that is a great movie. And Scientology alert, Juliette Lewis is great in it, too.
Oh, I can't stand her.
Yeah, John C. Reilly's good in it, too. And isn't, God, what's his name? What's his name? The McFly.
Crispin Glover?
Yeah, Crispin Glover's in it. Doesn't he play the like funeral director or something? He always drives around in a hearse.
I do not remember
so long,
that.
Yeah.
I do not remember.
But it's got a commentary from Lasse Hallström, who directed it, and Peter Hedges, who wrote it. So
good
it's a good movie, but it's not one of those movies that you buy and then go, you know what? I want to watch this multiple times, because I just get so pumped up when I watch it.
You know what you do? You get that, and you follow it up with some Benny and June. How about that? Oh,
good
that
Lord.
That'd be nice. You know, you watch that, you watch some Benny and June. Oh, that's nice. And then what you do is you got a little suicide pack going, you kill each other.
And that's DVDs for June 20th. 2006.
Well, thanks, Bill. That was a great DVDs. All right, everybody. That's episode 40. I enjoyed the hell out of myself, is all I got to say about that.
I'm Carl Monday. What are you reading there? Sports scores? Pornography?
Sports scores and pornography.
What do you think this is, an X-rated bookstore?
At the same time.
This is a library, for God's sakes. What are you looking at,
I love how he talks to the guy and he goes, what are you looking at, man? Like, hey, I'm going to kind of talk down to him a little. I'm one of his men.
Hey,
you know?
Hey, buddy. He didn't want to be his pal.
Hey, buddy, put your unit back in your pants, all right?
Oh,
I'm Carl Monday.
Yankees. The Yankees pulled it out in the ninth.
Monday.
The Yankees pulled it out in the ninth.
All right, all right, all right.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us this week. And you know what? Leave us a voicemail. Go to 1-206-202-3491. Leave us a nice message. Leave us some hate mail, whatever you want to do. If you would like to leave us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, you could check out our site at nowhereinmulberry.com. And there you will find a link, Stephen, to our forum.
I will find it?
Yes. Not only to our forum, but our chat room. If you'd like to chat with us on Friday nights, usually after 11 Central Time, Friday night chats. But also, join our forum, talk to us about TV shows, pop culture, all the stuff we... all the unimportant things we like to talk about.
I should be back next week for the Friday night chat.
All right. It'd be nice. Steven, we had a great group going.
Yeah, it went till 2 a.m. last night. Talking about Big Brother, talking about reality shows in general.
Yeah,
we're
thinking about doing a Big Brother podcast. We're keeping that in the air. We're not sure what we're going to do yet, but we're thinking about it. And when Bill and I think, bad things happen.
Yes.
Vanessa, I'm glad you got to make it back this week. And
glad you were so talkative this last few minutes.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. Oh, you broke up. We couldn't hear you.
I think I caught eating.
And you will hear statements that coherent on Friday Night Chats when Vanessa joins us.
Hey. Oh, wait. She never joins us.
Oh, wait.
Whatever.
This Friday's a cold day in hell. Vanessa might join us. Gee, thanks, Vanessa.
I have other issues.
Hey, and whatever happened to The Voice?
The Voice?
Yeah.
Can I ram it right up your... Do you like it whole or dice?
The reading voice.
Could you read some news for us? Everyone really enjoys that, and I think a couple of them actually used it to masturbate.
sir, what podcast are you listening to in this letter?
Read that news.
Mulberry Carl, you need to listen to it.
Pleasuring himself. Carl Monday.
Carl Monday just loves saying pleasure.
Yeah, he does. Hey, are you having sex? You have to have another person for that. All right, guys, that's Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 40. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Steven, thank you. Thanks a lot.
No, thank you.
Vanessa, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Bill, you're on the show, and I'll just leave it there.
You were there.
Randy was here.
This is an X-rated bookstore?
It's not?
Now this is podcasting.